See, Alaska already pays for tree thinning on its timberlands. Reducing crowding in new forests speeds their growth and shortens the time until loggers can resume cutting. The Southeast Regional Native Corporation spent about $1.5 million on what's called silviculture last year, and it expects a similar effort this year, with most of the work in the spring, summer, and fall. Sea Alaska Executive Vice President Rich Harris says the thinning season will start early this year. That's thanks to $800,000 in federal stimulus funds.
We'll have two 10-man crews doing work in the Prince of Wales, Craig Kluwak, Heidelberg area with this light winter. It's a very good opportunity for us to put quite a few people back out on the ground doing some forest and management and enhancement.
Sea Alaska signed a contract in January and expects to resume thinning later this month. Harris says the federally funded work will continue into May when the corporation's regular season begins.
We've got some new folks, but we've also got existing crews who normally wouldn't be working through this period of time. So we've been able to, with the additional funding, to be able to put those people back out into the woods and keep them working through the winter.
The Forest Service is also using stimulus money for tree thinning. It has about $675,000 for what's called the Ocean Boulevard Project on South Chichagof Island. Perry Edwards of the Sitka Ranger District says the aim is to improve deer habitat.
You have a lot of smaller diameter trees with very little understory, and that understory component is key for a deer to make it through the wintertime. Deer fern, blueberry, and bunchberry are some key species, and when they get shaded out by the overstory, the food isn't there for the deer.
Thinning will speed tree growth by reducing competition, but Edwards says he doubts the once clear-cut area will be commercially logged again. That's because it's on Peril Strait with frequent ferry traffic, and the Forest Service wants to protect the view.
In the grander scheme of things, in 50 to 100 years, what we're trying to do is accelerate that movement towards productive old growth. And with the wider spacing and the trees that are remaining are going to have faster growth. This is long term. We're not talking tomorrow or the next day. This is 50 to 100 years probably instead of maybe 150 to 300 years if we did nothing.
Thinning young forests is nothing new. Companies and government agencies have used chainsaws, heavy equipment, and even herbicides to speed tree growth for years. But thinning for harvest and thinning for wildlife are not necessarily the same thing. Nature Conservancy forester Keith Rush advocates variable thinning for wildlife. The practice leaves a more diverse natural forest with clear areas for forage growth and thick stands for protection.
Those thickets intercept snow. It's easier for them to move around in those thickets on snowy years, and it's also warmer. So that's, you know, very important for wildlife in the wintertime is to have areas of thick tree cover where they can hang out, you know, on the extremely cold spells and save more of their body heat, body temperature.
Thinning leaves trees, limbs, and brush on the forest floor. A number of people are looking at wood boilers, pellet plants, and other uses for what's left behind. Sea Alaska has partnered with Kluwak's Viking Lumber to explore wood product options, and the Forest Service hopes to sell some of what's cut in the Ocean Boulevard project to offset its high cost. The Nature Conservancy's Rush says economics are only part of the issue.
By removing the slash, more light's going to get on the forest floor, so you're going to have more of a vegetation response, and it's also going to be easier for wildlife then to move around those stands.
Forest thinning is also sometimes combined with other habitat and watershed improvements. That includes removing roads and replacing culverts that block salmon streams. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.